going to leave.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the first session of the first meeting of 2020. For anybody who's panicking, this is a very temporary change at this end of the table. Normal service is expected to resume tomorrow. So we only have one session on the agenda for today, which is the, let me get this right, subsidiaries that are SMEs. I'm going to hand over to Elizabeth to bring that, to introduce us today.
Okay, thank you, Daryl. Good morning, everyone. So the agenda paper 31 is in three parts. Part A is asking whether you've had, feel you've had sufficient information and asking whether you wish to move the standard from the research agenda to the standard setting agenda. Parts B and C, we only need to get to if actually you say yes. So I propose that we actually discuss and vote on Part A first. I don't intend going through any of the research. You've discussed it at each of the various meetings. We've summarised it in the paper. The only thing I wanted to add is since we actually posted the agenda paper, Michelle and I had spoke to a global corporate, and I just wanted to update you on that because I think what we heard in that message quite aptly sums up everything else that we had heard. So that one corporate told us they have about 500 individual entities that file local financial statements in approximately 40-plus jurisdictions. And they said that their preference was for the individual entities to actually apply IFRS standards so long as that, so long as that led to an equal or smaller amount of effort than applying local GAAP. And so of those approximately 500 entities, about half are on IFRS standards, but the other half are on the various different local GAAPs. So that's showing, well, and what they also said, any disclosure that they don't give does lead to a cost saving. And there's almost like an additional cost saving because many of those entities are audited. So as well as a cost saving to the company, there's also saving to the audit. So that's really all. It just sort of encapsulates everything else. This should lead to cost savings for subsidiaries if we can get the reduction in disclosure correct. But in addition, it also is showing it could lead to more entities applying IFRS standards than currently. So that's all. Any comments before we take the vote?
Anybody? Everybody happy to go straight to the vote? All right, do you want to set the question?
Thank you, Michelle. So, question one, which is in paragraph 50, is the board satisfied it's had sufficient information to make a decision on whether to add a project to its standard setting program?
12, 2 absent.
Thank you. And question two, does the board agree with the staff recommendation to move the subsidiaries that are SMEs project from the research program to the standard setting program?
12, 2 absent.
Thank you. So we do need part B. So in part B, as you'll have seen, we've identified three possible ways in which the project could actually proceed. So option X would be to wait for your work on reviewing the SME standard to be complete. And the advantage of this would be if instead we proceeded with a reduced disclosure standard, got out standards, then the SME standard is revised, there could be some difference in disclosure requirements. And I've given an example of how that could happen. So deferring and waiting would avoid that. On the other hand, you'll have seen we also said the intention is for the reduced disclosure standard to be optional. So an entity could choose itself, if we proceeded with the work, whether to actually adopt it without waiting or wait. And the advantage we as staff see of us proceeding more directly is the project should lead, as we've said, to cost savings. And so we feel it's more appropriate to actually proceed and give entities that choice. If we proceed without waiting, then we could take the standard that the Australian Accounting Standards Setter is producing, wait for that to come out as a standard, put our own wrapper on it, issue that as an exposure draft, or continue with our own work. You'll have seen that what we're proposing is continuing with our own work. The Australian Standards Setter, as you heard from Chris Peach in December, the scope of their project is different. They've got a lot more entities, and their objective is different. They've got a lot of entities doing very, very little financial reporting right now, and they're trying to bring them up. In addition, their standard would need some modification. We couldn't literally take the standard and put our own wrapper on it. So we feel that the difference in time is not that great. In terms of the work, we've completed analysis on approximately a third of the standards already, and we've got work in progress, work started on another third. So we're actually quite a long way down the process. So, again, any questions or comments before we take the question?
Elizabeth, I thought the analysis was quite helpful in terms of thinking about different ways to approach it. I think rather than the staff recommendation of Z, I'm probably more what I'll call a softer version of X in terms of waiting until we make substantially more progress with our own IFRS for SMEs project. I don't think we have to wait until it is published out the door, you know, the most recent update. And as a matter of fact, having just published the consultation, you know, I think we've got good momentum on that. I take your point, and I think it's a good one to think about, that it's optional. So an entity that didn't want to be put at risk of having to do two rounds of change in succession could defer. But I think we also have to think about the overall amount of resources from both our perspective and a stakeholder perspective that it takes to run consultations on two separate projects that are in an overlapping stakeholder space, because I'd imagine that an entity that's thinking about this, subsidiaries that are SMEs, would want to look pretty closely at what decisions we make in the IFRS for SMEs project, especially around disclosures, because if we're presuming that we're taking them, we want to start directing people to, you know, to think about their own interests as we're doing that. And I think going to an overlapping by overlapping stakeholder base, and by that I mean the entities that are using or thinking about the IFRS for SMEs and the entities that are thinking about the subsidiaries that are SMEs, I think there's a degree of overlap in those stakeholder populations, some of whom are not generally that heavily engaged in following our standard setting process. That's a lot to ask them to give thought to independently in approximately the same time frame, as opposed to saying with X, and when I said softer version of X, what I'm thinking of is let's get significantly further with the IFRS for SMEs. I don't think we have to wait until we've published it to say, okay, let's pick up the near final product and leverage it to move ahead with the subsidiaries that are SMEs. I think in terms of the proportion of our capacity as an organization, but also our stakeholders' capacity, that would make more sense. And if we see a lot of entities saying, well, I want to wait until this latest update for the IFRS for SMEs, see if I'm really going to commit to, you know, this project till I know what it's going to be, because it's clear that we're talking about significant changes to the IFRS for SMEs, you know, in the consultation document we published. I think the idea that we'll get it out now because of their big cost savings is kind of undercut, because I would expect relatively few to say, I'm going to go ahead and be a pioneer in this area facing the risk of significant additional changes in the next couple of years. So I think it's the right analysis, and I agree entirely with your analysis of alternative Y. In terms of let's continue to monitor and draw on the feedback that the Australians get, but I wouldn't use the document that they've prepared, which was very helpful to learn about, as the basis for our subsidiaries that are SMEs. And I think it's feeding it in rather than issuing it as our own consultation document. So,
Anne?
I would support option Z. I completely agree with Mary about the interrelationship between the two projects and some commonality of stakeholder groups. However, I would support continuing work on this particular project, which is what you're proposing in option Z. I think we have to continue the work because I think that it's relevant to decisions that we do make in the review of IFRS for SMEs. I don't think we can disentangle them, and I think the stakeholders will be asking questions about them both. What I'm thinking is that if we proceed with this project and this does become a standard and becomes available for people, that may well affect our decisions in the review for IFRS for SMEs. So we've got our RFI, we'll start the process of collecting feedback, and there's a lot of material in that RFI, and we're looking for a lot of material and a lot of commentary. But our decisions on that project could be affected by having this, that this standard, if it were to come into our literature and offer an option for a group of entities, I think it could then change our thinking about how we do the review of the IFRS for SMEs. That is, what is the role of the IFRS for SMEs? I think they're interrelated, and that is why I would vote for Z. I would not vote for Y, for Mary's encapsulated reasons, but so I would vote for Z. Thank you.
Martin?
And I would wait because, man, I think, and as you know, man, for this SME request for information, man, I'm really interested what is stakeholders' view on the overall alignment between full IFRS and SME, because you think I'm concerned that at least smaller entities would not like this permanent update and permanent alignment, because I think it is driven by a lot of cost, and therefore I really expecting that we get some input from that. And if this input would be, I think, overwhelming and we don't have this alignment approach, this project has a different attitude or different flavor. And also what ends that, I mean, I'm also fear if we starting now and all our decisions now then are because we think it should be done all for this SMEs that are subsidiaries which have recognition and measurement based on full IFRS, it is influenced then the SME project by this thinking. And therefore, I think we should at least wait until we have a kind of feedback from the RFI what people really want to have from us regarding this updating of the SME standard. Because as I think I agree, it is linked then to that, and maybe our decisions are influenced, and at least I think we should wait until we have this kind of feedback. If people agree with alignment, if the alignment, I think maybe then we can start in parallel with that. But without that information, I at least find it difficult, and also that we are influenced then by maybe by this project, which I think would not be a good thing.
So I just had a couple of comments picking up on what others have said. I think the first thing is just talking about the overlapping. Generally, the companies that would qualify under this requirement for this approach, to my mind, don't apply, or to my experience, don't apply IFRS for SMEs at the moment, and are not necessarily following that project, and that's because the recognition and measurement differences are significant. And so because of the reasons why we've discussed limiting it at the moment to subsidiaries, this is a group that are stuck between, but it's easier for them to comply with the recognition and measurement, I think. So I think that would be the first thing that's important. I think the second one is I think that the time frames are likely to be significantly different on these two projects. And I think that relates to the fact that the IFRS for SMEs review has to go through three phases. Your proposal here, and that becomes important, is only a two-phase proposal. The comment period under IFRS for SMEs is typically a longer comment period. And I think that needs to be taken, the 180-day versus the shorter one that we're likely to apply. In this space. I think to the point that Martin's raised, which I think is a really important one, I think there are a couple of fundamental issues under the comprehensive review, including the extent to which we align. I don't think those impact on this project, but I think they are likely to make the IFRS for SMEs a more intensive discussion when we get back to the comprehensive review. And then I think the other thing that's interesting about this project is where with the comprehensive review we're likely to have a period of time, particularly if we make significant changes to IFRS for SMEs, between the date that we publish and the effective date. On this project, I suspect we can go for a much shorter period. because it's voluntary application, because it's providing a simplification for entities that are applying it. I also think that we've developed a lot of momentum. People are interested in this project. People are talking to us about this project. People are asking us questions about this project. And you are getting work done on this project. So for me, that supports the idea of continuing that process while we have the ability to do that. I was, to be honest, a little bit nervous, and I think I agree with Martin here on something, and you said, in that I would like to think that the IFRS for SMEs needs to exist in its own space, and we need to be very careful of allowing this project to inform changes to IFRS for SMEs. I don't think that's the objective at all. That said, it's entirely possible that if you develop a package, let's say, for leases disclosure, that the SMEs can look over your shoulder and see what you've done. So there's an opportunity to learn from, but I don't think we wanted to actually be changing the path that that project takes. So my inclination, I agree with Mary, I think your view on the following the Australian approach. I think they've done really good work. I think we should continue to work with them to understand as much as we can from what they've done. But I think we've got enough independence in the way we've already taken on some of the topics. I think a wraparound type of approach would simply end up in us having two exposure drafts in this project. And I just think, again, and I said this before, I think this is a project that is very specifically doing something that a lot of our projects don't, making it easier for people applying the standards. I think for that reason, if we can maintain the momentum, it's a good idea. Gary?
I support the staff's recommendation project. I'll say I'll go British Z as opposed to Z. I have a lot of reasons for supporting it, so not necessarily in the most logical order to extend, but I think, you know, going back to former life is my statutory audit costs were massive. And any time other regulators that I dealt with came out with something that was purely a cost savings, I couldn't wait to adopt it, like adopt it the day it came out or something. I have half a dozen examples over a long period of time I came up with it. So this is, first of all, it's an option. You get a big company, the one with 500 subsidiaries you mentioned, I mean, they might adopt it in half of them and not adopt it in the other half. So you have deliberate choices you can make. So it's an option that's given out there. But it is a major cost, you know, to prepare these things. So you tend to look for any way to take costs out of your processes. You know, my former colleagues and I used to kind of refer to this as the statutory reporting underworld. It's got a different life, you know, from parent companies. It's got a different life from standalone SMEs in here. And I appreciate that it's really here to stay in the world. I still have severe doubts, especially when you're a wholly owned subsidiary. And what is the real utility of these statements? It's a revenue source for the accounting and auditing firms that deal with it. It's a cost center on the corporations that pay it. For what purpose, you know, do these things typically use for? In that sense, it's a very different market and a very different product from the standalone SMEs, or do not have, in general, big corporate capital behind them, upstream from them. And typically, at least my experience, was that if you're a subsidiary and you're going to be doing some substantial form of borrowing or credit, whatever, somewhere or another, there's an express or implied parent company guarantee or backup behind it. SMEs don't have that. So I think in terms of outreaching to documents going into the world, it kind of, maybe not quite the same time, they're different markets. The SME market's a different market than this. This is going to be corporate responders. This is going to be the mainstream coming back in this one. The SME standards, a very different lending and use market. So I don't think there's all that much overlap that's coming. So I think it's feasible. As you look at corporates, is the world is pushing more and more to shared services centers. You only have shared services centers when you have shared and common processes and outputs. So if you've got a global dispersion of standalone local GAAP, you know, or standalone tax basis financial statements reporting, that stays local. You can't centralize it into it. If you've got common processes, common outputs, in this case, generally a common body of thought, it's capable of centralized. That's another cost savings that I think prepares, not every place, not all the time, but there's certainly be enough instances to make it useful to do. I think we can manage the overlap as I kind of look at, you know, our tracking sheets of the open projects. Lots of smaller ones are dropping off. We're going to vote on a few more of them in the coming weeks. Not to say to fill a void, but I think we can absorb the work. The other thing I would point out, Elizabeth, and the staff work leading up to this over the last year, a lot of the legwork has already been done on what we would change in it. And I think there'll be time. We're asking for SME feedback by the summer. This project will not be done by then. We'll have the benefit of that input as your project goes forward. So for all those reasons, I support Project Z and recommend Alternative Z. And I think we should go forward ASAP.
We went back to Z.
Z, Z, whatever.
Nick.
Thank you. In terms of when you looked at the first question, you talked about addressing a deficiency in financial reporting. I prefer to think of this as being a case where less is more, but it's an enhancement. We should try and think about this more positively than in terms of a deficiency. I know that's what we have to do in terms of our words. I'm supportive of the staff recommendation in terms of the way forward for a number of reasons. I'm not sure that there is a overlap in the preparer base here. I think they are largely distinctive. I accept clearly there is an interrelationship between the two projects, but the end user of both sets are often lenders and other creditors. It's not as though the needs of the end user of these financial statements is so different. So in some respects, we can leverage that interrelationship. And finally, as you highlight, there is an optionality here. We're not forcing anyone to pick up the new set of standards we'd have here. So I'd prefer just to get on with it.
Francoise?
Well, I'm also supporting the staff recommendation for many reasons that have already been explained, so I'm not going to repeat every argument. I particularly agreed with everything you said, Daryl. And Gary emphasized the cost saving even more than already in the research. So I'm very supportive of that. I would want to eventually raise out two different aspects. First of all, one of the reasons why I welcome this project is the fact that it has really the potential of releasing the pressure that we had on the IFRS for SMEs for alignment coming from the people that wanted the relief from the disclosures but had to comply with full requirements. So we take that pressure out. And as you said, the IFRS for SMEs having its own space, I think that contributes to that. It's a side benefit. It's not the main objective for the project, obviously, but I think it helps in considering the views coming out. And having people considering our request for information on the IFRS for SMEs, knowing that we are progressing on this exposure trap, I think is beneficial to getting relevant responses to those requests. I also would like, in the interrelationship between the two, to me this is going to be an IFRS standard, and as soon as we are going to amend, complement, supplement our IFRSs, we are going to consider how to apply the SME disclosure principles to the population of private company that can apply the standard. And so this standard is always going to be, from a disclosure standpoint, in advance of the IFRS for SMEs. Not saying that when the IFRS for SMEs, if and when the IFRS for SMEs is further aligned with IFRS, we are going to do copy and paste. But it's from a timing perspective, it's always going to come first with these simplifications in disclosures before the IFRS for SMEs. So having this in advance in the first time it is done, to me, is natural.
Thanks, Francoise. Tom?
similar to those in favor. I think we can move ahead with this. I think it's a good thing, and I go back to what Elizabeth said, is that the cost savings are very real. And it has this additional effect that it helps promote IFRS standards and global harmonization. I'm sympathetic to the concerns, but I would remind that we're just getting going, and these things can go in parallel, and we can monitor, as Gary said, if we see something from the feedback that says it would very much upset the world to proceed with the IFRS for SMEs thing, or sorry, the subsidiary one, you know, then we can put the brakes on, because we're not about to put out an exposure draft. We're quite far. And so we can visit the timing again, but I really would like to proceed in parallel, because I think the benefits are quite large to getting this project done.
Xinqiu?
Thank you. I also support staff's proposal. I think we should continue work on this project and do it as soon as possible. A couple of reasons. First, if you look back the background of this project initiated by as a result of the last agenda consultation, that's in 2015, and it has been 5 years. If we and now we start again, and if we stop here, because we are going to next round of agenda consultation, and the stakeholder will raise this project again, I don't think it is a responsible response to the stakeholders. Particularly, we started again. If we stop, and people, the expectation of those stakeholders very high. If we stop, I think it's not a responsible way to, you know, to meet the demand of those stakeholders. Particularly, we are going to the next round agenda consultation. So there is a risk there. Secondly, I think we have already talked about the cost benefit, why we needed to do this project. The main objective of this project is the benefit is clearly here. There's a lot of cost saving. But the benefit, the benefit to the users, some people worry about maybe there is a significant loss of the useful information. I don't think so, because we will not change the recognition and the measurement. So that means the main information will not included in the financial statement will not be lost. So I don't think there will be a significant loss of those here information to users. But the cost saving will be very high. And the third is about the so-called overlapping problem with regard to this project and the comprehensive review of advice for SMEs. I think they have already explained, because the timing, the approach, the objective are different of two projects, actually very different. And particularly if we rely on that project, because that project is still at very early stage. We just issued a request for information, not go to the, you know, exposure draft statement stage. So we have to wait maybe 2 or 3 or even longer, you know. So the benefits of this project will not be achieved if we wait for that standard. But finally, it's applying this reduced disclosure financial disclosure statement standard will be optional. I think it provides another approach to the stakeholders. But I have one question, maybe. Could be explored further with regard to the option. Based on the paragraph 70 of the paper, for me it's not very much clear about the option. What kind of option we are going to give to the to the preparers? Currently, we say we permit those subsidiary to choose to apply this reduced disclosure IFRS standards as soon as possible. So that means first option will be the effective date of this reduced disclosure IFRS standard. This is first option. Second option is that waiting for until our amended IFRS for SME standards has been issued. So that means will be the easier date of that standard rather than effective date. So that's the two options. I wonder whether there is another option that is effective dates of the amendment, amended advice for SME, or rather than ECO date, we can explore the further, because that standard has not yet been, effective. So maybe early adoption allowed you something like that. But people may ask a question. And another thing I'm thinking about that, whether if in the future some subsidiary apply the reduced disclosure IFI standards, whether we will allow them to come back to using full IFI standards in the future, if they think this is also could be another option. I think in the future we can explore this option a little bit further to explain different options and make clear what kind of option will be available for those subsidiaries.
I think that you answered his own question. So essentially that's something we would need to talk about, yeah. I imagine, at a future date in terms of how optional we're going to make it and what happens, yes, if you go in and out.
Yeah, yeah, but this is just very detailed. Maybe in the future we can explore further and to discuss it a little bit further. Yeah.
Rika?
Yes, thank you. I positively support staff recommendations. We should go on this project. I think I agree with what other board members already said. I truly think that the user basis of this standard will not be not so much crossover between those entities which currently use IFRS for SME, because I think this standard, if we can have this standard, maybe the primary user, I can imagine, is a relatively large subsidiaries that still SME, but that have group companies. They need to prepare the consolidated financial statement. Maybe they need to maintain such information to get into the cross-border arrangement to have some good client relationship and looking for the vendors and the licensing agreement. Sometimes that might be just an ad hoc one-time transaction, but I had the experience that some licensing agreement requires the entity to prepare the overtime, longer time coverage of the financial statement if they want to continue that relationship in the future. So I don't think this is not just an ad hoc type request. And I also think reconciliation between the Australian standard setters project is, I think it will take time to reconcile, because we tentatively decide to not to include new standards, disclosure requirement of the new standard up until the IFRS for SME requirement is revised. So, but on the other side, Australian standard setter will update the information, disclosure requirement information, when the IFRS, full IFRS becomes effective. That type of thing need to be reconciled, might be take time, and I don't think it's really that's timeline might be very huge as we compare with we now expected. So I think I really think it's a good opportunity for us to ask the real potential user to consider the scope of this project as well as the timing when the new disclosure should be updated in the future. So I think I support the staff proposal.
Chung Wu?
Thank you. I also agree with the staff's recommendation. However, one more check with the Australian approach. You have made a very good analysis of approach Y here, option Y. But I'd like to know the advantages of option Y more. If we take the option Y, the Australian standard, as our exposure draft, but there are some differences between the, you know, what they do. You know, but I definitely we think we can get some kind of good advantage. So could you explain a little more on that, the advantage of option Y?
If we do our own analysis and continue liaise, or if we take
think
one.
Option Y. You're suggesting if you actually publish the wraparound, essentially.
Option Y is Australian's disclosure soon. They will feature this one, but this one will be used our exposure draft, right?
Yeah, so option Y is to wait until the Australian Standard Setter have issued their standard, which is expected mid this year, which it is. It's an ambitious timeline, but I believe it is one they're working to. And then, some national jurisdictions in the past have done that with the old ISC and some of the ISB standards. So they've sort of done it in reverse. So when the old ISC or the ISB have issued something, some national standards setters wanted to adopt it into local GAAP, and they just took what the ISB issued and put their own wrapper. So it's that kind of thing, but in reverse. So take the Australian standard and effectively put our own wrapper and say and invite comments. But the problem is, when I look at their exposure draft, we can't simply do that because they've got things in there that are, firstly, their scope is wider. They've got not-for-profits in there. So there's some specific powers. We'd have to take those out. They've got some Australian-specific things in. I suppose we could look at whether some of them we would have to take out. We could look at whether we wanted some of them. But also they've taken views on presentation, which, you know, we've not, for this project, we've not asked you yet what you want to do about presentation. We've discussed recognition, measurement, we've discussed disclosure, but presentation, although it blurs into disclosure, there's quite a bit that's separate. So the advantage would be we'd be taking a ready-made standard, but I think the downside is we couldn't. The real advantage would be if we could take that and do nothing to it, but unfortunately we can't, just because of they're developing it purely for their jurisdiction, and so they've got some jurisdiction-specific things in it, which means we could take it, but then we've got to adapt it. And we just felt that by the time we'd done that, any time saving was fairly minimal, and set against that would be you would be taking on board probably most of their decisions, and because they've got a wider scope than we currently have, maybe not than we'll ultimately have, and their objective was different because, as Chris said, you know, for some entities they're trying to reduce the disclosure, but they've got a lot of entities that I think she said only comply with 5 standards, and they're trying to bring them up. So their objective, when they've looked at various issues in board meetings, I think it's a little different from ours. Also, they don't have the SME standard. So they're looking at full IFRS and that as part of it, whereas for you as a board, you've got full IFRS and you have got the IFRS for SME standard, and possibly a little bit of where they're going you might not want to do because you've got the SME standard, but they don't. So if we could simply take it, it would be a lot quicker, but I don't believe we
so
can.
I think it probably matters where we are in the process, and I think it comes back to something Gary said, that you've already done a lot of work in the process. If they had published their standard today, if their standard was available today and we'd done no work, you could see benefit in publishing it just as a wraparound, getting public views, and then expanding from there. I think given the work you've done and the points of divergence you've already mentioned, the downside is it essentially suggests that we're probably going to lengthen our process rather than shorten our process because of it.
Yes.
Yeah, in terms of the timing, maybe that's one of the advantages if we use Australian standard as our exposure draft. But another dimension I'd like to know is a repetition of the content of Australian standard. If we develop our own exposure draft, many part of the our maybe exposure draft will cover the same thing. Yep. I guess that's the big advantage if we use Australian standard with some kind of an amendment you listed here. Yeah, we have to amend something, you know, modify something. But basically, I think in a big repetition of theirs into ours. So that will be another good advantage. That's what I'm saying. So maybe if we have a good
And I think that's why it might be important to say, and I think, Cheng Wu, I think that's a very valid point. I think it's important to say that I think you mentioned in the paper somewhere that you will work with, you have worked with, and will continue to work with. So I think a lot of the advantage of the repetition is happening through the ongoing discussions that you're having with them.
For definite, and I think both projects have benefited from the fact that there's the Australian project and there's our project.
Interaction. Gary?
Yeah. Thank you. Quickly. A couple of people had said that, you know, just it's worth repeating, then I'll give a comment on how we'd handle it, is it is important to keep this separate and distinct from the or standalone SME standard, because I think that audience needs, deserves, and in fact demands, you know, kind of a stable platform. Every several years you come back to it, and then even then you'd be somewhat judicious in what you add to it. This is a different audience. Again, thinking for the most part it's going to be wholly owned subsidiaries of corporations and presumably larger corporations in the main. They're used to accounting standard changes all the time. I mean, every year we help them out with some more disclosures they need to do. So they already internally have a process to deal with this. And sometimes I could say even if you have a reduced disclosure that's applicable for the space, they might still go with full IFRS because we hit the minimum of the standard and we have some voluntary disclosures that happen to be full for us. They'll do what makes sense. So they are really geared up to it. I think the way we control it, as we get into the disclosure sections of future standard setting, there's going to have to be a dedicated paper to subsidiary subject to the standard, what would you do different from the main standard that you're putting out? And the presumption is, in the absence of something to the contrary, is the main standard automatically apply. So I think that's a good discipline from us, because you'll test the big picture with how does it work in the little picture. And I think it works well going forward. Anyway, I think it becomes a part of the process of finalizing disclosures for full IFRS.
Tadao?
Well, I do support the staff's recommendation. Probably I'm echoing some of the other members already said, but first, it is an option. And then, therefore, the entity can wait until, for example, the comprehensive review of IFRS for SMEs standard is completed. Secondly, it's a cost-saving project, and then, therefore, in general, is welcome, provided that the quality is not diminished. It will likely increase the quantity of companies using IFRS full. That's supposed to increase the quality of their financial statements. And finally, if we look at the IFRS for SME project, if we do any amendment, it will be much more aligned recognition and measurement principles that are in IFRS full. Therefore, if a company applied the standard that we are proposing, and 2 years after they have to do any change, because you have this finalization of the project for SMEs, still there will be less changes for this type of company because they will already be aligned for most of the things that are being proposed in this project. Definitely, I support approach Z.
Martin?
I'm still not clear how this is then aligned with the SME standard because, let's assume Francois said, okay, if we in the future have new full IFRS standard, then we will immediately think about the disclosure, reduced disclosure for these subsidiaries. Is it then, if we doing that, would then determine the disclosure then if we maybe in 5, 6 years' time, then also maybe update the SME standard. Is that then the disclosure which we have decided then, or is that a different process? My question is then, okay, man, if we do it currently, then for, let's assume we finalize the rate regulation standard, and then, okay, maybe the SMEs, and then we look at the disclosure about for the subsidiaries which are SMEs and decide on reduced disclosure for the rate regulation standard. Is it then necessary for SME, other SMEs which are not subsidiaries to comment on that because it is determined the disclosure, or is there a different process if we then maybe in 5 years' time saying, okay, do we need an SME standard for rate regulation which are SMEs and then we discussing it new? Is that the process or is it linked?
Certainly the way I've thought about the process, and you can comment on this.
But if that is true, why we say, okay, it is a kind of disclosure which uses SME, or is it totally separate? Is we looking at disclosure which only for this population which are subsidiaries which apply full IFRS, which are parent, is that an independent process of this disclosure of SMEs, or is it aligned?
Absolutely. So I think certainly the way I've thought about the process, and then you can comment, because I think this overlaps on the two different projects. That are, I think Francoise is right in that if we introduce a new standard in a year's time, we have an obligation, if we've gone down this route, to publish the simplified IFRS for SME consistent type process. Otherwise, you have this odd situation where for the new standard, call it rate regulated, you would have to apply the higher level of disclosure requirements. So you need to publish a simplified set of disclosures as soon as that standard becomes applicable. So I think that would be the first step. I think then the second step is when you come to do a review of IFRS for SMEs, if you have made the decision that rate regulated measurement and recognition belongs in the SME standard, which is an independent question entirely. Once you've made that decision, I think the second thing would be to test those simplified disclosures with the SME users, with the normal SME users, and say, are you comfortable this meets your requirements? Is there something else that needs to change? It does mean that this becomes a little bit of a pathfinder, if you like. So it gives the opportunity for that simplified disclosure to be tested a little bit, and to be out there in the process. But I think the discipline the board is going to have is not to simply assume because we've done it once, that's the rule. I think we need to go through that process. But that's the way I'd see it working, and I think that's the way it has to work, because you can't have this sort of simplified, not simplified, simplified. Is there anything you want to add?
No, either? I completely agree with that.
I completely agree as well. I think the only thing I would add is that in looking at the reduced disclosures, so if you've got the new standard and you're looking at how you would reduce those for subsidiaries, we would look to the how we reduce disclosures in the IFRS for SME standard. So we have in the IFRS for SME standard how we look to reduce disclosures. So we would use that same thinking. So I would hope the two would be aligned.
So if, okay. Francois? If you finalise PFS, then we will immediately look then in what is reduced disclosure of management.
I think we would need to, because if we have this model in place, you can't require that step up and then step down. Francoise?
Well, I mean, to comment on this latest issue, I would expect differences only if, when aligning in principle the IFRS for SMEs, you would make simplifications. It would not be exactly the same measurement and recognition requirement. It would be inspired, but it would be a different set nevertheless. And so it could have an implication on the disclosure that the way I would expect it to be. And in fact, it has a form of link to the comment I wanted to make, because I wanted to comment on the differences between approach Y and Z, and in particular in relation to the scope. Mm-hmm. I don't expect the scope to have an influence on the outcome, because basically what we're going to do is to apply disclosure principles which have been developed, having in mind what disclosures privately held companies should provide. Whoever is a private company, apply to a subset of those privately held companies, which are the subsidiaries of listed groups. So it's a subset. It responds to the same principles, but there is nothing, because an entity is a subsidiary, that makes it special. There is no decision that we're going to make because it's a subsidiary distinctly from any other privately held entity. And I think it's important to make this clear.
So I think that's a marker from Francoise for a discussion we're going to have at the end of the process. Is that right?
Yes. Can I just respond? Because I completely agree with you. I think when we do get to discuss scope, I don't think there will be a difference in the disclosure. But I think the difference between Y and Z or Z is a little bit the granularity of how we go about identifying the recognition measurement differences compared with how the Australians, and that is stemming from their different objective. And I think also the difference in scope may but may not, but I think it may impact on your decision on presentation. It may not, but it may. But that is a debate we're going to have at a later meeting. Well, yeah.
Elizabeth, so I think if you can call the vote as recommended.
Okay, so the vote in paragraph 75. Does the board agree with the staff recommendation to adopt option Z, that is, to continue to analyse IFRS standards and to develop an exposure draft? Well, we'll come back and debate exposure draft and discussion paper as soon as possible.
Ten, two absent.
What's he?
Ten, sorry, maybe. Ten, four.
Hmm? Ten yes, two absent, two no.
But you'd like to know what the two votes were?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's 10, 2, absent, two. 4 absent, no?
Didn't vote 4.
2 no.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so part C is whether or not we establish a consultative group for the project. And you'll have seen that on the last page of the paper, we explained that we do intend consulting with subsidiaries, the SMEs, and users of such financial statements. And we actually feel that could be more beneficial than a much wider group, given the exposed draft or discussion paper, if that's where we go, that the issue is open for comment by absolutely anyone. So it's not that we'd only ever hear from the narrower subset, but we felt rather than a wider consultative group while we're developing it. And also the other factor that we thought it wasn't necessarily appropriate to have a consultative group, any tailoring that we do, we're looking at the disclosure requirements that are already in full IFRS. So we're not intending creating new disclosure requirements of our own. So do you want to go straight to a vote or do you want to debate?
Well, let's see if anybody wants to raise a point on this. No? I think we can go straight to a vote.
There's a question in paragraph 78. Does the board agree with the staff recommendation not to establish a consultative group for the project?
12 in favour, 2 absent.
Right, so that's all you have for
Thank
us?
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you.
So that's today's session. Thank you.